Turn to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. At rest in the storm. And why don't you stand with me? Let's stand and read through our passage here this morning. Starting there in verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Well, Heavenly Father, we come before you here today, and we are grateful and thankful that you are the Lord of all, and that you are in command of all, even over nature. This is something that you are bringing the disciples into a greater awareness of. And though the storms may blow, God, though we might go through trials and difficulties, God, we know that we never have to fear when we are with you. And I pray, Lord, that you would cause that to sink into our hearts here today, that you would take this passage of Scripture, God, that it would come alive to us, and that it would speak and minister to us right where we're at, Lord, bringing comfort, bringing encouragement, bringing hope in our lives as we look to you here today. So speak to us, we ask, in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. Now, we've been looking in Mark chapter 4 over a couple weeks now. And in Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 4, we've been going through these different parables. The parable of the, oftentimes known as the parable of the sower and the seed. But more accurately, it's the parable of the soils. And it's dealing with our heart. How are we receiving the teaching and the word of the Lord? And then he went on to go through some other parables to where he says there, in verse 33, or Mark writes in verse 33, "And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples." So we see that Jesus has been having quite a time of instruction and teaching with his disciples. Now you all know, those of you that have been in school, after a time of teaching, what typically follows? Tests. Recess, yes. We just had recess, guys. Already happened. Sit tight, all right? Just be another hour or so. We'll see. But it's tests that come oftentimes. Now, if you're like me, you hate tests. Not very fond of tests. But without tests, we really don't really know how we're doing. Are we getting this stuff? Is it sinking in? Is this something that we are actually now retaining and able to apply now in our daily lives? And so Jesus, after this great time of teaching, bringing his disciples around and the disciples coming to him saying, "We're not quite getting this word. What do you mean with this here?" He explains all things to them, as it said there in verse 33 and 34. And now he says, we're going to go into a bit of a time of testing now. We're going to begin to put some of these things to practice and see how you're doing with it. And so that's what we're seeing here in the rest of Mark chapter 4. And so it not only allows them to see how well they're getting it, all these things that Jesus is sharing with them, but it aids them in getting it. Because our real times of learning come through experience, don't they? You can sit under a lecture and somebody can tell you, "Hey, here's what, you know, we need to do." And they can give you direction after direction, instruction after instruction. You can be listening to all this. And then you go to do it and you're like, "Oh man, what was that again? How did that, was it this first? Was it that?" And it's like, "Man, I forget everything he just told me. I heard it, but now I don't exactly know how to apply that, how to do that." You see, our learning oftentimes comes through experience, does it not? We've all experience that, I'm sure, in our lives, where it comes to us actually doing it, that it begins to take root and go, "Oh, now I'm getting it. Now I understand why he said that and why I need to do this or why I should apply that. I'm getting it now as I do it." We learn and grow, not just by being told something, but by doing it. And so Jesus here, he puts the disciples in a pretty interesting situation now. It's not to hurt them, it's to help them, not to squash them, but it's to secure them. And so that's what we're going to be looking at here as we look at being at rest in the storms. And as we go through this chapter, here's what we're going to be seeing. The command, we're going to see the storm, of course, the reaction, and then the result. And that's the outline that we're going to be looking at as we go through this. So first of all, the command there in verse 35 and 36, we'll read that again. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. What does Jesus say? What's the command? Let us cross over to the other side. Pretty simple command, right? Hey guys, let's hop in a boat. We're on this side of the lake. Let's go to that side of the lake. The Sea of Galilee. Essentially just a lake there. Simple command. You know, sometimes we can get really caught up in the peripherals. We get stuck in trying to work through the details sometimes, right? When we hear the Lord maybe calling us out into something or directing us in an area, and what do we oftentimes do? We begin to think, oh, what? How should I do that here? You know, what does he want me to do? Well, Lord, which boat should I take here? Which route should I go? Which angle should I have the oars at? Lord, I don't really understand all this. Help me here now. What should I do? I don't want to do anything wrong. And we get really focused a lot of times on all the details that necessarily aren't important at that time. When the Lord says, let's cross over to the other side, guess what? That's all the information that we need. And what does he ask of us? To just go. And to do it. And to step out in faith. And to say, okay, I don't know what's waiting. Well, Lord, what's happening on the other side? It's not important right now. Well, what, you know, what about if something happens? What do I do if this situation arises? Don't worry about it. Just let's cross over to the other side. Gives us the command. And we're to follow obediently in that. It's just simply, let's go to the other side. You know, Jesus is much more interested in the journey with us and the need for us just to say, Jesus, I don't know what I'm doing here or how this is all going to pan out, but I'm just trusting you. That's the response that Jesus is interested in. And yeah, there may be a lot of stuff that's in store for us that we don't know, but Jesus is just interested in us going, following him. He's just enjoying that journey with us. And he's going to reveal things as we go along. He's going to begin to kind of put everything together as we step out. Did that with Abraham, didn't he? You know, called him out of Ur of the Chaldees just to go to a land he would show him. And he's like, what, Lord? You want me to leave everything that I know here? What's going to happen here? Why am I doing this? Just go. Abraham does, and as he steps out in faith and he begins to move, it's on the go that God begins to lay out more of that plan to him. And you know, it's interesting. I'm sure most of these disciples, you know, at this time, probably not questioning, but they're just thinking, hey, sure, go to the other side of the lake, no problem. Piece of cake. We've done this hundreds of times. Remember, a lot of these disciples were experienced fishermen. They spent many days out on that Sea of Galilee. This was nothing for them. They were probably thinking, Jesus, hey man, just stay close to us. You'll be safe with us, man. Oh, you picked the right guys for this job. Just hang tight, Lord. We'll just take care of this. I'm sure they're all thinking, no problem, piece of cake. Now, I wonder what that response would have been like if, you know, Jesus began to lay out some of the plan for them. Hey guys, listen. Get a boat. We're going to cross to the other side. But oh, man, in the midst of crossing over, we're going to hit a storm of all storms. Man, it's going to be a doozy. This is going to be the storm of the century. Oh, it's going to be great, isn't it? Let's go. I'm sure the disciples would have been thinking, what? What are you doing? No way, we're going to sit this out. I can see some of those clouds coming. No way, we'll just ride this out a little bit here on dry ground before we get in the lake. No way. Jesus knows that, man, there's going to be some lessons to be learned in this. And you see, there's many times the Lord just gives us the first part of that plan, doesn't he? Right? He just says, hey, here's where I want you to begin to pray about it. Here's where I want you to begin to step out in. He doesn't give us the whole part of the plan. If he filled us in on all of it, oftentimes I think we would just freak out. We would never follow through. Be like, no way, you got the wrong person here, God. I ain't doing that. Doesn't fill us in on everything. But the Lord wants to do a work in us, and that work often comes through times of stretching. Sometimes it's moments of being overwhelmed and going, Lord, what is happening? But where all that we have is to call out to God and to cling to Jesus and to see his strength manifested in those times. That's how we grow and learn. And that in those times we can see his power, his grace, his strength that not only, you know, calms the storm, but it calms our hearts. Jesus coming alongside us and comforting and assuring us through it all. And in this passage, Jesus is giving his guys an opportunity just for those things to happen, to learn, to grow in the midst of the storm. It's the same for us, isn't it? We're never going to mature unless we experience those storms that will stretch us and grow us, cause us to become more dependent on Jesus, because there are times that our faith is increased. And that's why the Lord allows those things to happen in our lives at times. Sometimes you think, God, if you're real, if you're loving, why do you allow me to go through this difficulty? God, you could spare me of it, and he can. He says, but if you don't go through these times, you're not going to grow and mature. You're not going to become strengthened in your faith. You're not going to be able to see, ultimately, what I want to do through this. And see me on full display in the midst of that. Man, we miss out sometimes when we say, no, I'm not going. I'm not getting myself into that situation or that problem or that difficulty. Guess what? You miss out. You miss out on seeing God's power come through and work leading you through in those times. And again, the bottom line is we just need to simply believe what Jesus says. As he says, go, believe that he will take care of you until his purpose is fulfilled in you. And in the midst of the venture, there's no need to fear, is there? Because we know that he is with us. He is taking care of us. He's guiding us, directing us, strengthening us. And we simply just need to look to him and keep on serving him and saying, God, I'm yours. Because he will see you through. And that's what we need to discover here. This is what we need to learn and just believe in here today as we go through this story and this account here. So here's the command. Let us cross over to the other side. Pretty simple. All right? A lot of people will quickly follow. A lot of people will say, no, I need more information. I need more details. Some people will quickly turn around the minute they see some black clouds roll in. The Lord says, let's not try. He didn't say, let's try to cross over the side. Hey, let's give it our best, you know, attempt here. Let's see how we do. He says, let us cross over to the other side. Let's do it. In that command, there's power. And there's an enabling, too. Understand that with God's commandments come his enablement. Sometimes we think, no way, I can't do that. That's not me. You got the wrong guy. But when God calls, he enables as well. And so, there's the command. Here we see now the storm. Look at verse 37. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Now, here in the Sea of Galilee, it's a lake that's situated in such a way that it becomes very susceptible for storms quickly picking up and creating some pretty intense storms and waves there on the lake. I've been able to be there 3 times, and every time I'm there, I'm praying, Lord, I want to see one of these storms. Come on, bring it. You know, we go out on a boat too. We go on that lake and we're out there worshiping. I'm in the corner going, Lord, just kick up some waves, man. I want to see this. Let's go. You know, I would love to experience that. There's been some experienced people that are doing guides and that have experienced some of these storms. They say, I don't want to experience them ever again. They can get pretty crazy. So the Sea of Galilee, you see, it's situated 680 feet below sea level and surrounded by hills. Some of these hills are fairly big. Some of them are just kind of average size. But as the wind kind of blows off the Mediterranean, you see, and it begins to blow off this cold air, and it begins to funnel through these little hills and ravines and stuff and comes down into this hot air system there over the Sea of Galilee, it causes these storms just to kind of pick up really quickly with the change in temperature and air pressure in the lake. And these storms just in a moment's time can begin to quickly pick up. And as the wind blows, these waves get going, man. And these storms can come up pretty fast and pretty intense. Make some pretty interesting times there on the Sea of Galilee. Now, did Jesus, you know, I mean, did he forget to check the marina report that day? Was he like, oh man, I totally failed to read the paper and see that, man, this is probably not a good day for sailing. No, he knew exactly that all this was coming. He knew exactly what he was getting his disciples into, you see. He knew all this was coming, but he had a reason for it all. This didn't catch him off guard by any means. He knew exactly what was happening, and he wanted his disciples to experience that. You know, sometimes we think that the storms in our life are the result of just, you know, our wrongdoing, our bad choices, our messing up, or something happening where, you know, we think, Lord, did you fail to see this coming? God, you called me to do this. Did you not realize that this is going to happen? And sometimes we can think, you know, Lord, you just throw me in the situation now, abandoned me. But understand, we can experience different kinds of storms in our lives. It's not just storms that blow in our lives and difficulties and trials that we encounter because of sin or folly or bad choice in our lives. There's different reasons why we might encounter these kinds of storms blowing in our lives. We're going to look at a few of those here today. When we went through the book of Jonah, we talked a little bit about this. So if you were there on Wednesdays during the study of Jonah, this might be a bit of a review for you. But let's look at some of these here. We can indeed experience storms of correction. That's what Jonah did experience. Jonah was called by God to go and preach the gospel there in Nineveh to the Assyrians. And you know what? Jonah did not like the Assyrians. And he had every reason to, because these were brutal, barbaric people. He did not want to see these guys be shown the mercy of God. He says, God, I'm not going. And it wasn't just that he was afraid of them. He was like going, I don't think I want them to be saved, because I know if I preach the gospel, there's power in the gospel, and these guys are going to get saved. And Lord, I don't want to be part of God's family with them. I don't like them. This is why Jonah was running, you see. And so God clearly says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. What does Jonah do? He's in Jerusalem. He's in Israel. Nineveh's over here. He says, you want me to go there? All right, I'm going here. And that's what Jonah essentially did. He wanted to go as far away from Nineveh as possible. So he gets onto a ship and he sails for Tarshish, which was to them just kind of like the furthest point known at that time. He's wanting to get as far away from this as possible. So he hops in a boat and he goes out. And interesting here about this here, a little side note. He's running from God, but guess what? He gets down to the port at Joppa. There's a boat waiting for him. How about that? He's got the money to pay for the fare. He hops in the boat. He starts sailing. And what is Jonah doing? Sleeping. He's at rest. He's at peace. Just because he sees these things all lining up and kind of going his way does not mean that he is in favor with God, that he's doing God's will. Sometimes we can think, oh, wonderful, everything's lining up so perfectly. I guess this must be God's plan for me. Understand, if God says to do this and we do something different, regardless of how much these things might seem like they're lining up, you're out of God's will if you're not going where God's calling you to go. So Jonah was without excuse, but here he is on the boat. He's on the Mediterranean Sea, and then a wind began to pick up and a storm began to blow. And this was exactly that, a storm of correction. This was God's means to say, Jonah, I know you don't want to go there, but man, you're the guy for this job. You're the guy I'm calling here, and I want you to fulfill my purposes in your life. So I'm going to redirect you here. And this storm began to blow. And Jonah's with a bunch of mariners on the boat. He's with a bunch of experienced sea people, and these guys are freaking out. They're praying for their God, to their gods. And they wake up Jonah. Pray to your God, man, because we are perishing here. This is bad news. They weren't just kind of going, oh, man, we've seen this before. We'll get through this. They were panicked. And they realized that after casting lots that Jonah was at fault here. Jonah says, yeah, this is all my doing. I'm on the run. And so he says, throw me over, and this is going to stop. They throw Jonah over, and the storm stops. And God provides, of course, you know the story, a great fish to swallow up Jonah and get him back on track. But God allows a storm to come as a storm of correction. There are times in our lives, definitely, where we are stepping out of God's will and we find things getting all in turmoil, all messed up. And we have to realize, God, am I following what you're calling me to do? Am I walking in obedience to your word? Is the trials that I'm experiencing right now a result of me doing something that I know I should not be doing? You know, I've seen this happen. I've seen this play out. I've seen, you know, guys and girls that, you know, move in together before being married as Christians, and they clearly know that that's not a good thing to be doing, and they wonder, why is everything just kind of blowing up in our face? Why is this happening? Oh, man, I don't get it. It's because you're not obeying God. That's why it's happening. Can you expect to have a smooth ride if you're blatantly just disobeying God's word? I don't think so. And there will be storms of correction in your life. But now, understand that there are also times in our lives that we will go through storms that are not a result of our bad doing. In fact, we could be doing everything right, following God's word exactly to the T, just serving Him, being used of Him, and yet have experiences where we have maybe another kind of a storm. Perhaps it's a storm of direction. You know, Paul experienced that. Paul was the guy that wanted to go to Rome, all right? He wanted to go and share the gospel there. Well, guess what? God had Paul arrested, had him there in Caesarea Maritima for 2 years under house arrest. And Paul's, I'm sure, thinking, man, what's going on? But God was giving him just a, man, vacation there in a beautiful spot right on the Mediterranean coast, at rest for a couple of years before God would move him on, and get this, on an all-expense-paid trip to Rome there with security guards with him, the Roman guards taking him as a prisoner, yes, but God providing for Paul to get to Rome. And so they're sailing now to Rome, and Paul's going, this is great, awesome. It's exactly where I've wanted to be. Thank you, God, for taking care of this. Thank you for giving me a couple of years rest there in the sunshine, in the sand, in the surf. This is awesome. Now I'm on my way to Rome. But guess what? As they're sailing, a storm came up. And it was a bad storm again. And once more, the people in the boat thought, that's it, we're toast, we're perishing, we're going to die. And Paul says to them, no, listen, you're not going to die if you stay in the boat. Great picture, just staying with Jesus. But you see, what was God doing through that? God was redirecting Paul. Paul says, you know what, I'm taking you to Rome, but you know what? There's a couple pit stops on the way that I think are going to be really practical, really useful, because there's some people here on an island that I want the gospel to go out to. And so a storm comes up, and they end up crashing there on the shore of Malta, the island of Malta. And you know what? Paul could have gotten out of joint over this. Paul could have gotten all upset and thought, what is going on here? I want to get to Rome, God. I thought you were taking me there. Now the boat is broken, and now here I am on some desert island or some island here. No, Gilligan, what's the deal here? This isn't right. I didn't sign up for this. But what does Paul do? He's not bitter. He's not upset. He just gets busy, starts serving. Gathers some wood, makes a fire. He starts serving. He starts ministering to the people there. And even in the midst of that, as he's collecting wood and putting it on the fire, what happened? A viper jumps out, clamps onto his hand. And people jump back and go, this guy must be seriously bad, man, because he can't get away from anything bad happening. He gets shipwrecked. Now a viper's clamping onto him. He's going to get poisoned and die. Everybody's thinking, that's it. What does Paul do? He just sit there and go, come on, God, enough already. What's the deal? Snake's on my hand now. It's ridiculous. No. Paul just shakes it off, it says. Shakes it off. Just gets busy continuing on to share the gospel. You see, we can tend to think oftentimes that, man, okay, I got my sight in mind here. I know where I'm going, and I just want to get there. But you know what? We need to be flexible to say, Lord, what do you want to do in my life? Are there some, you know, detours along the way? Are there some things that you're bringing up to use me here in something that I never saw happen? You see, God allowed a storm in this situation to redirect Paul to go somewhere that he didn't have on the radar, and to go and do something that he didn't even see as a possibility. Probably didn't realize about people there on the island. And Paul had great favor where he began to go out and share the gospel, and people got saved there. The gospel went out, and God touched lives and changed lives, and people were added to the kingdom that day. Praise the Lord for that. You see, when we're going through things in our life and we're thinking that, well, I'm on this mission, I'm doing that, and all of a sudden things come up, storms blow, and begin to redirect us, and don't fret. Don't get bitter. Don't get upset. Just shake it off and say, God, what do you want me to do here? What do you have for me to do here? And the Lord will allow storms of direction to reroute us into areas that we didn't even see on the horizon or even see on the radar. Storms of direction will do that in our lives. And then we see storms of perfection. And that's what we're seeing in our text here. Storms of perfection. We see the disciples, they're doing exactly what they were told to do, right? Let's cross over to the other side. They hop in a boat and they're going. They're following obediently to what Jesus said. They're not doing anything wrong. But yet, crazy storm blows up on the lake there. And you see, this is here a storm of perfection that God is allowing to work in them a greater faith and a greater understanding of who this Jesus really is. And as they would begin to see Jesus' power begin to unfold, guess what? Man, their eyes have just been... And we're going to see that. We're going to read about that here. How they were just amazed. And you see, there are times that we will go through trials and tribulations in our life simply for the fact that God gets to display his power at work in your life. That God gets to display his goodness and his grace in your life. It's something that we might go through a hard trial, a difficulty, but as we look to the Lord and continue on just clinging to him, man, people see that and they go, wow, praise the Lord. You know, I met with a girl a couple of weeks ago, a woman from the fellowship here that's been going through an awful lot of stuff. Just for years, heavy stuff. And oftentimes I was thinking, man, God, just spare this woman. Just strengthen her in this time. And as I met with her a couple weeks ago, there was just the joy of the Lord in her life. And though things are not completely smooth sailing right now, there's just a joy of the Lord. She's just experiencing the goodness of God in her life. And I was just overcome, just amazed, just in awe, just going, thank you, God. Thank you that I just get to see your power at work in this situation. And so it is in our lives. You know, you might be going through something heavy. You don't have to walk around and go, oh, woe is me, this is so hard. Now, we want to see God on display. We want to see God magnified in and through our trials. Where you say, man, yeah, this is harsh, this is heavy, but man, God is strengthening me. I'm still experiencing God's love. I'm still experiencing his grace in my life. And when people see that, it gives opportunity to just praise God and to glorify him. And that's what was happening here in these disciples. As they're going through this experience, this encounter, the storm in their life, they were able to say, praise the Lord. God is good. Storms of perfection. God perfecting his work in us. That's what we read in Romans 5 today, isn't it, too? That tribulations and trials come, but it brings about that character, brings about that hope in our lives. God using those things to do a greater work in us, a work of perfecting in us. So, let's look here now at the reaction, like at verse 38. I love this. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. It's a great calm. This is great. Here we see in verse 38 the humanity of Jesus, all right? Now, he's been out ministering. He's been sharing with people. He's been sharing these parables. He's been out healing people and going from morning to night. He's been busy. And here we see his humanity because Jesus got tired. And Jesus oftentimes would find little opportunities just to go and get away, either to pray or to rest. And here he is now in the boat at rest. He's sleeping because he got tired. Jesus didn't come to this world as some superstar and fully just, you know, in this kind of, Godhead quality where he didn't get tired. Right? He was fully God, but he was fully man. And he emptied himself of these things. He experienced what you and I experienced. He didn't just keep ministering. We can't look at Jesus and say, well, you know, you're Jesus. Of course you can do those things. Or of course you can just keep going, man. You're Jesus. Praying here and doing that and all these things. Man, it's not as easy for me. But you know, when Jesus was ministering, he was ministering in and through the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. Same ability we have. You know, Jesus got tired. And he would go and rest. He experienced what we experience. And here he is now, sleeping. And he went through the very things you and I go through. And yet, even in the midst of the storm, he's at rest. I love that. Man, the storm starts blowing. And the waves are kicking up. And they're beating into the boat, it says. They're coming over, just overtaking them in a sense. And he's at rest. Don't you love that? What a great picture this is. I believe this is what Jesus wants us to be able to experience in our lives. That though storms might be blowing our way, things beating against us, in and through Jesus, we can be at rest. We can be at rest in all of that. What a great picture. And so the disciples, they have to come along. They have to wake him up now. You know? And sadly, what do they ask? Don't you care? Jesus, get up. Don't you care? They're not looking for him to, they're not saying, Lord, hey, we need your help. Jesus, there's some stuff going on. Maybe you can do something about it. No, they just almost begin to berate him. They begin to chastise him. Don't you care? We're perishing here. They don't look to him and say, you know what? We're perishing. We need your help. It's just, don't you care? We're perishing. You know, in the midst of our fears, it's easy to let our emotions get the best of us, isn't it? When we begin to let fear grip us, we allow our emotions to get ahead on us. And when that happens, you know what? It's hard to think rationally. When we let fear begin to dominate and we let our emotions begin to spike over, we tend to think very irrationally in those moments. And that's why Jesus doesn't want us walking by sight, but by faith. I want you to walk by sight, because if you're walking by sight, you're going to see things in your path that are going to freak you out. And you're going to fret, you're going to fear, and man, you're going to become a basket case as your emotions begin to get the best of you. There's a lot of things that will cause you to stress and freak out and question God's goodness if we're letting our fears override the truth. Right? That's what happened with the 12 spies as they went into the land of Canaan, isn't it? You know, God all along, he said, I'm giving you the land. But they get the idea, well, let's go check it out. Let's go spy it out. 10 of the spies come back with a very bad report. They're going, you know what? Man, there's giants in the land. There's no way we're going to be able to overtake them. Forget it. We don't want to go. And they send this report among the camp. They just begin to poison the camp. God's saying, hey, you know what? If you're walking by sight, yeah, you're going to see the giants. You're going to see the obstacles. But what have I said? I said, I'm giving it to you. He didn't tell them, hey, guess what, guys? Go into the land and let's just go for it, man. Let's just see how well we do. He wasn't kind of leaving it a little bit loose, you know, open-ended here. It's like, I'm giving you the land. But they begin to freak out. They begin to fret. And their emotions get the best of them. And they allow their fear to override the truth. And when that happens, you know, our emotions just follow along, don't they? And when you let your emotions start to take control, you will find yourself in some serious trouble. That's what we see happening in great numbers today. People allowing, you know, all these things to just begin to stress them out, to cause anxiety in their lives, to cause them to despair and freak out. When instead the Lord's saying, I just want you to cling to me and to put your trust in me, to hold on to me, because I'm going to see you through. Don't walk by sight, but walk by faith. And the minute that fear enters in, it shows us that we're not putting our faith in Jesus. I believe that faith is going to override that fear. If we're truly trusting God. Oh, there'll be times that you might go, oh man, this is scary. No doubt about it. This is a little bit, whoa, this is out there. But God, I'm putting my faith in you. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm trusting that you're going to see us through here. And so I pray that we never allow ourselves in those moments to let our emotions get the best of us and to begin. Because what happens? We're going to think irrationally. We're going to begin to question the Lord. God, why is this happening? Why are you allowing this? I thought I was doing the right thing, but what's going on now, Lord? I don't need this. No, we can receive those things and go, God, what do you want to do in the midst of this? We never need to ask God, don't you care? Don't you care, God? He does. But he cares about you. He cares for you. And he wants to see the best for you. And sometimes that's allowing you to experience those difficulties. It's like that with my kids sometimes. There are times where I might see them doing something that I know they shouldn't do. And, you know, I'll say, hold on. Before you do it, let me get my phone out. I want to video this because it's going to be good. You know, you're going to see an accident or something. And it's an opportunity to say, well, you know, I just wanted you to experience that that was not the right thing to do. I could have told you. You probably would have fought it a little bit. But I'll just let you do it and experience it. So that you know. And sometimes in our lives, the Lord knows that we learn through experience, through experiencing those things. Never have to question God, saying, don't you care? No, he brings those things into our lives because he knows that's what's going to cause us to learn and grow. You know, the Bible says, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And he does. Do you believe that today? He cares for you more than you know. He loves you with an everlasting love. But you see, he loves you so much that he doesn't want you just to stay where you're at, to remain as you are. He knows that there's so much more in store for you. And he wants to bring you to that place that you're truly going to experience the blessings of God as we grow and mature in him. And he knows that oftentimes, to get there, it's going to come through a few bumps, maybe a few bruises, going through some trials and tribulations, but it's to stretch you so as to grow you, not to hurt you, but to help you. So, after Jesus shows his humanity, he's at sleep. The disciples wake him up. Check this out there in verse 39. He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. It was, in a sense, he's saying, be quiet. It's the same kind of word that's sometimes used when he's rebuking, you know, a demon-possessed man. Rebuking that demon, be quiet. Some believe that this then shows that perhaps this storm was maybe of a bit of a demonic force behind it to kind of rattle the disciples. Notice what we're going to see when we get into chapter 5 next week. That as they get to the other side, they're going to encounter a demoniac. So some believe that as the way that Jesus rebukes the storm, peace be still, be quiet, kind of like be muzzled is what he's saying here. Some believe that this was perhaps a work of the devil here. But understand, too, that the devil can't do anything that God doesn't allow him to do. Sometimes we think, oh, man, this is of the devil. Oh, the devil's at work. No! The devil can't do anything unless God gives him permission. So ultimately, God is using every single one of those things to do that work in us. I don't like to give the devil much credit. I don't like to blame things on the devil. It's easy to do. But ultimately, God's allowing those things so as to better us. And so, he says, peace be still and notice. It says, the wind ceased and there was a great calm. How many people would be happy with just a little calm? Right? I don't need a great calm. I just need a little calm. Just a little bit. But here is a great calm. Calm. I love that. And not only did the wind cease, but the waves stopped. This was like a double miracle because oftentimes after the wind stopped, the waves might begin to still kind of roll for a little bit. But here, not only did the wind stop, but the waves just, there was a calm. It ended. Man, that's a work of the Lord right there. That's so awesome. And so look at the result here now, verse 40. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Isn't this exactly what Jesus says to us in our time of fear or worry over circumstances? Why are you so fearful? Why are you afraid? Again, when we fear, We let our emotions get away on us. The Lord says, why are you afraid? Why are you stressing? Why are you anxious over this? Why so fearful? You see, as easily as Jesus calmed the storm, he's able to come and calm those situations that we're working through. But do we believe that? Jesus wants us to learn the blessing of being at rest in our trials. How many people want to experience being at rest in your trials? Yeah. Stay away from those other people that didn't raise their hand because their life is tumultuous, man. No, I like the storms, man. Just bring them. I just get rattled, man. It's awesome. And just stay away from those guys, man. Good quarter of you. Raise your hands to be at rest. Thank you. Good quarter of you. Okay. But Jesus wants us to learn that blessing of being at rest in the midst of the storm. You know, there was a great song that was came out a few years ago that, you know, sometimes he calms the storm and other times he calms his child, you know. There will be times where he will end the storm, but above all, what he wants you to learn and discover and experience is being calmed in the midst of the storm, of bringing rest to you in the midst of it, to not have to be freaking out, fearing over what's going on. How do we do that? How can we be at rest in the midst of the storm? By knowing that Jesus is allowing that storm to blow against you and knowing that he is able in a moment to still the storm. That's what can bring peace, is knowing, God, man, you're doing a work here. Man, though I might not understand what's going on here, Lord, you brought me into this situation. And you're doing it to fulfill your purposes and your plans in and for my life. So God, help me to see and know what you're doing here. Help me to learn these lessons, and Lord, bring a calm in the midst of this. Bring a calm in my heart, and then Lord, bring a calm to the circumstance and the situation that I'm in. Because he is able, with just a spoken word. And you might think, man, this is going to take years to unravel this. This is going to take years for this to settle down. But you know what? The Lord just has to speak the word. And there can be a calm. A miraculous calm. That shouldn't be. The disciples are looking at the lake going, how did the waves were beating over our boat, now it's calm? Usually it takes a little bit. The waves begin to get smaller and smaller and smaller until it's finally just little ripples and then it's calm. This is calmed immediately. Jesus, with just a spoken word, is able to fix and just cause a smoothness in whatever you're going through. No matter how long you might think this is going to take to get through that. That's the God that we serve. And the disciples, having gone through this now, they ask an important question here. They say, who can this be? Do you catch this now? Because their understanding now is growing at Jesus, right? They're looking at him going, well, we've seen this guy. He's done miracles. Yeah, we've seen him heal people. But now he's speaking with authority over nature. This is something kind of new to them. And now they're going, whoa, we knew this guy to be our rabbi, to be a good teacher, to be a miracle worker, but who can this be that even the wind and the waves obey him? Their knowledge of him is beginning to increase and grow. Their understanding is being strengthened in him. Just like that seed, you know, as we've been going through the parable of the soils, just as that seed gets planted, you know, they've opened their hearts to him, but now that seed is going in, it's being planted. It's beginning to germinate. It's beginning to grow and sprout to fruitfulness now. That's what's going on in the disciples. They're having a greater, more blessed understanding and confidence in Jesus now. You know, some people, perhaps even here today, maybe you're here today, you don't have a great or strong confidence in Jesus to come and bail you out or to be a help in time of need, or a shelter in the midst of the storm, because you've never trusted him to see you through. You've never given him an allowance to say, God, I'm in this situation, but Lord, I'm going to just look to you. I'm going to call out to you, Lord, help me. Instead, you've just been busy bailing out that boat, trying to row frantically to get to the other side or just to get back to where you came from. We've never stopped and said, Jesus, what are you doing in the midst of this storm? What are you doing in the midst of this trial in my life? Lord, what is it that you want to do and accomplish in and through me and ultimately for your glory? Some of us don't have that confidence in Jesus that when the winds start blowing to where we're able to be at rest and say, Jesus, I've been here before and you brought me through. And so my trust and my confidence is in you. You know, Oswald Chambers said something really good. He said, beware of worshiping Jesus as the Son of God and professing your faith in him as the Savior of the world while you blaspheme him by the complete evidence in your daily life that he is powerless to do anything in and through you. It's pretty heavy, but the question is that true for some of us? Is that true to where, we profess him, we come and worship him, we say, yeah, I'm a believer, but yet we don't believe that he is able to rescue us in our time of need or to see us through. But instead we say, Jesus, I got to get out of this. And we panic. And we just start rowing with everything we've got, beating against that storm and not allowing Jesus to bring a calm in the midst of it. Because that's what he wants you to know and discover. That he is able. That he is strong. And he will be strong at work in your life. There's a reason for storms, people. There's a reason that we go through those things that we go through. You don't have to look at them and freak out and panic, but say, Lord, what is it that you're wanting to show me in this? Have I gotten away, stepped out of your will? Is this to get me back on track? Or Lord, are you leading me to something that I didn't really see coming? That you want me to be used of you in this situation that I may have overlooked? Or Lord, are you just wanting to show yourself faithful once more in my life? And to show your greatness and power so that I grow in you in a greater way? Storms have a purpose, people. Storms are allowed in our lives by the Lord to do a greater work in us. You know, this journey of the boat is a great picture of the journey of our life. We're on one side, looking forward to making it to the other side, right? That's what we're all doing. We're all in this journey now. We're in the boat, and we're just looking to get to the other side. And you know, having Jesus in the boat doesn't guarantee smooth sailing, does it? Having Jesus with you in the boat doesn't mean that everything's going to be just, you know, bed of roses. But he does give us peace and calm in the midst of the storm. And with him in the boat, we have a confidence that he will see us through to the other side. The problems really come when you head off somewhere without Jesus in the boat. Be sure that all you are doing is being done with Jesus present and at work in your life, with you clinging and holding on to him. And know that Jesus is at rest. He's not frantic with any circumstances that blow our way. He's not flipping out. He's not saying, oh man, I didn't see that twist coming. Oh boy, what are we going to do now? Oh man, didn't expect that to happen. Nothing is taken by surprise. Jesus is ever calm. There's no need for ourselves then to freak out because God's got it under control. May we learn to be like Jesus. Though the storms may blow, may we be at rest, for what do we have to fear when we have Jesus on our side? Amen? Amen. Let's pray.